Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam Hilchas Geneva, the fourth chapter, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis. We're on page 184-185. Just spend a minute or two to review that first halacha in the first perek, because many halachas come from that. So just to refresh our memories again, we said there's another way that one can pay kefil, the double payment, even though it's not the classic case of Geneva, of robbery. And it's called Toein Tanas Ganav. If the Shomer Chinam, the person who's watching it for free, claims to the person who gave him the thing to watch, he says it was stolen and he lied. And he swore in a court to that effect. So if a Shomer Chinam, a watcher who's watching for free, he swears that the object was stolen, and thereby absolving him from paying, because that oath absolves him from paying, and then if afterwards witnesses come and testify that he has the item, he pays kefil, he pays double, and that is the new case of you pay as a ganef, as the shomer who became the ganef. And we said that's the act, that's the oath that absolves him from paying. That is, in all practical purposes, that's the act of geneva. That false oath is the act of geneva that turns him into the ganef, so to speak. Furthermore, if witnesses would testify further that he slaughtered or sold it, he would have to pay 4 or 5. And we mentioned this is only possible if after he swore. He swore, and then he claimed it was, and then after he swore, which already made him the ganef, and then he would slaughter or sell, then he, double crime, then he pays the 4 or 5. However, if let's say he lied, he swore and lied, and then before anybody comes, he turns around and says, I admit I lied. So there's a new halacha that what is this? This is for swearing falsely. So he has to return the item plus 1/5, plus he brings a korban asham. That's what we learned in that halacha. Got a few other things, but that's the main thing. Now, certainly, if the guy just takes it, but he didn't really do anything. The owner says, where is it? He says it's lost. It's stolen. But he didn't swear yet, right? And then witnesses say that he has it. What did we say? You only pay the Karen. Because the fact that he didn't swear yet, he didn't do any act of Geneva. And why was he saying it was stolen? Because it was stalling for time. So that's what was Halacha Aleph, just to get our memories refreshed. So now there are other halachas just flow from this. Halacha Beis. Bamed Varma Murim. When do we say that you have to pay all this stuff and you have the kefil? Shenishba kodem sheshalach bapikaron yad. When he swore before, the expression is shlichas yad, before he sent his hand against the object that he was watching. In other words, a shomer chinam, when you're watching something, you're not allowed to use it for your own use. You're not allowed to pick it and start working with it or doing something with it or take it for something else, right? That is totally not allowed. A shomer is never allowed to do that. And when you do that, if let's say you're a shomer and someone tells you to watch this tape recorder, you start taking it around, you start taping it and this and that, then you are a gazlan. You're mamish, an out-and-out thief. That's real robbery. Especially sitting, that's a chutzpah, because the guy told you to watch it. You don't even care about nothing. You just start using it. So when did we say this whole thing can happen? If he says it was stolen, and then we move on to other things, and if he shechs it later, you could pay the kefil in the 4 and 5. This is all if the oath was before he had any personal misappropriate use of the object. Avol, however, im shalach bayad, if he sent his hand to the object and he uses it and does whatever he did with it, and let's say he slaughtered it or whatever he did with it, v'ta'an tanis ganav nishba, and then afterwards the owner says, where is it? And he says, it was stolen. And he swears to that effect. So the order would be, he does a deliberate act of using the item. That itself is the act of gezela. And then afterwards, he swears and lies and says it was stolen. And you'd think, well, that's the claim that it was stolen, which we learned yesterday, you pay double. But that's if that's the only thing you do. But if you took it first and used it first and misappropriated first, that's the first action we look at. And that's the action of blatant gzela. And that is already, you were kona it. And you stole it, and that's the action that we're worried about. What you do subsequent to that is meaningless, because you've already done the act of gzela. And in that case, if let's say ubo edim, and witnesses come afterwards, potter mina kefil. He doesn't have to pay the kefil for this second act. Again, What does the guy do? The shomer, let's say, he has the item and he just takes it and uses it. And then subsequently, whatever he does with it, he could have destroyed it, he could have thrown it away, he could have shechted it, whatever he did with it, but he's not supposed to be using it. Then, the owner says, where is it? And he says, it's stolen. And he swears to the effect. And then the Edom come afterwards and says, he's a liar. So if we would have taken away the first thing he did, the misappropriation, that would have been a classic case of Toin Tanis Gan. If he claims it was stolen, he'd have to pay kefil. But since there's a misappropriation first, and that's the act where the kinyan happens, that's where the criminal act happens, that's the act of gezeila. So now that he's a goslin, and he's done that criminal act, you can't do anything more on top of that to add a second criminal act. You've already done the criminal act of stealing it. And once you've stolen it, doesn't matter what you're saying afterwards. Doesn't change the reality is that you're an out-and-out goslin. Let's say you misappropriated and nothing else happened afterwards. Well, you're a regular goslin, and you have to pay. You have to pay for damaging, like a goslin always pays the amount that it's worth. The fact that he goes and lies everything doesn't accomplish anything more than what's already happened. All right? And let me just finish the point. That's Mr. Rambam. Shekeven sheshalach yad, since he sent his hand against the object, since he misappropriated the object first, nischayev bo, at that point he's obliged for whatever happens with vikano, and he has acquired it in the fashion that makes him a ganav, and therefore he has a gazan who we know a gazan is putter from paying kefil, doesn't pay kefil. What he did afterwards, that's immaterial to what happens afterwards. Okay, questions?
When we said before what a gazlan was, it was an act that was done in front of everybody, like not in secret.
So that's the classic case of gazlan, but there's other types of gazlan where there's incredible chutzpah. We've already said, let's say if a bezdin said, go pay him, right? And then he goes and does something. That's considered a gazlan too. So it's not only this. It's, you know, you go over to a thing and you go and take it away. The guy trusted you to not take it.
Private,
what?
Misappropriated it.
Yeah, it's done in private, but it doesn't matter. It's the chutzpah level that's involved. The guy, he gave it to you. It's not like you're going in the night and no one even knows who's there.
Right.
The guy wakes up, he doesn't even know who took it. You are the shomer. The guy gave you the thing. And now how are you going to get out of this? You're going to have to lie right to his face. So you really are in the guy's face. Okay, you didn't grab it from in front of him. But the fact of the matter is, it's an incredible chutzpah that if the guy entrusts you with it and you go and do something with it, that's a very bold act to do. And that becomes part of that idea of goslin. Yeah?
Is gzela worse than gneva?
Well, it doesn't matter in terms of worse, but in terms of payment, the Torah says you only pay the keren. That's it. There's no kefil payment for it.
So on that level, it's not as bad.
Listen, this payment is one thing, you know, what crime, again, we said, a ganef is worse because he's not afraid of Hashem. He's more afraid of people than Hashem.
But it stops after his gzela, even though he's...
There's nothing more that you can pay for. Once you're a goslin, you have acquired it, and you're a goslin, finished. Now, the halacha of a goslin, you only pay what you stole. That's it. That's halacha. That's the halacha the Torah says. Yeah, well, not really, because the goslin, he's more... The ganef is less God-fearing. The ganef says, I'm afraid of people, but I'm not afraid of Hashem. The gazan says, I don't make a difference. He's more honest. Okay. All right, we're not getting into the philosophy here. We're just trying to understand the halachas here. Okay, good? Now, well, so on to halacha gimel. Now, v'chein ha-toin tanas aveda. Now a different claim. The owner says, where's my object? He doesn't say it's stolen. He said it's lost. Again, a shomer chinam is potter. If it really was lost, he doesn't have to pay. Shomer chinam does not pay if it's stolen, does not pay if it's lost, or other things as well. So now, at this point, the fact he says it's stolen, and then v'nishba, and he swears to that effect, at that point, he can never be chayiv kefil. Because this whole new chiddush of paying double when you lie by swearing, it's only if you say it was stolen. That's the only time. That's what the. If you look in the Torah, it gives you that case. Torah says you gave it to the shomer. The shomer. Torah says like this: you gave it to the shomer, and then if Taka Ganav steals it, the Ganav has to pay kefil. But if we see that it was the shomer himself, he has to pay kefil. It only works when he says it was stolen. If he lies and just says it's lost, automatically it's not a kefil case anymore. That's the way the Torah describes it. So now what happens? The chazer, so now, and then he figures, and the owners, so he made one oath, and then later he could say maybe in a different court, whatever, you know, he says, for whatever reason, the chazer v'tan tanis ganav nishba. Then he says, you know what? After he swore, he says, you know what? I think a guy stole it. And then he swears. So he's done two things. He swears that it was lost, and then he comes back and say, you know, I think maybe better, I think it was really stolen, right? Because maybe he hears some witnesses that are saying that, he's hearing talk after he said it was lost. Some of them are saying, hey, we see it around somewhere. What do you mean it's lost? So he says, I better give another lie. So he lies and says that it got stolen. Vinish when he swears. So again, what do we have? V'yachach bo Adim, and then Adim comes and says, a liar for the ganze Geschäft. He lied for everything. So now, should he pay kefil? No, Potter min kefil. He doesn't pay kefil. Why? Because we always look at what's the first criminal act. So over here, the first criminal act is that he lied about it being lost. At that point, that's already the criminal act. But it's only a criminal act that's culpable for Karen, the principal. The Torah says you don't pay double unless you swore that it was stolen. But the first criminal act wasn't that. So Shekvar Yotzah Bikadami Adabalim. So since the article has gone out of the domain of the owner, why? Mishvur Rishona, from the oath that he made. And it was a lying oath, and that already is the criminal act. So whatever, even though afterwards he says a lying oath that would have made him pay double, but since he's already done the first criminal act, then he doesn't pay the double. So it's similar, Bayes and Gimel are pretty similar in principle. In Bayes, what did he do? He went and actually destroyed it or used it. That was the criminal act that only pays Karen. This case, he swore it got lost. That's the criminal act that only pays Karen as well. So therefore, do not pay the kefil. That's the Rambam is saying. The first, what you're learning from all these halachas, the first act, that's where the acquisition comes, and that's what we're going to basically say what the halacha is based on. Not a subsequent act that is really immaterial to the original act. Yeah?
So assuming you know the Torah, if you ever have this happen, you're always going to say it was lost, you'll never say it was stolen.
It depends, because you sometimes will figure maybe something's that lie will work better. It's more believable. They won't be able to challenge you on it. Remember, he might want to do a lie that no witnesses can challenge him on. He might think this is a better lie. You have to know the situation. You know, you're right. If the guy's clever, I'll always lie this, and I'll only have to pay the single amount. But sometimes he figures this lie is a more believable lie in court, right? When a liar is a liar, he's trying to figure out which lie will be more believed. Sometimes for him, he feels it's more believable to say it was stolen as opposed to lost. Maybe there were a lot of criminals. Let's say there was a lot of break-ins that week. So they say, where is it? It says it got stolen. And they're not going to, they say, yeah, I guess so, because the last three other people told there were break-ins in there, right? So that would be a more believable lie. And he'd rather say that, and maybe he won't have to worry about anybody coming back and contradicting him as soon as he got lost. What do you mean he got lost? How did he get lost? What happened? So it depends. Sometimes one lie is more believable than that. But you're right. Technically, he could play that system. Yeah.
Was the article no longer the property of the original owner because he gave up hope
Nothing to do with giving up hope, and not that it's the original owner, but it's you took it. It's not the question of shinui and the article has changed. It's the classic case of gzela. You've done an act. Remember we said, when does the ganav take the possession? Ultimately, he has an obligation to return it to the Baal. It's not a legal thing per se. We're not talking about the value changing and things like that. You're a ganef and now it's gone into your domain per se, but you've got an obligation to return it back to the owner. This is different than, you know, shinui is koine and this kinds of stuff. That's already going to be
so
a different thing.
It's lost.
He's done the criminal act. The swearing falsely is the criminal act of either geneva or gezela. That's the act. Because it's in the domain. The problem is, when I go into your house, and I just take it up, remember, if I pick it up, that's nothing, right? I gotta take it out, I gotta do a kinyan. Here, there's no ability to do a kinyan, because the owner wants it in your house. So how can I make a kinyan? I can't make a kinyan. I could, if I destroy it. That's one way, certainly, of making it a kinyan. The other way is, what is left? A false oath. And that's the way of making kinyan on that. Okay, moving on to halacha daled. Now it gets really interesting. I need to give you an introduction again. So far we know, if I give you some, it's interesting stuff. If I give you something to watch, you are a shomer. There's another entirely different case of a shomer, a watchman, where I didn't give you the thing to watch, and you're still a shomer. What's that? If you find a lost object, you're walking in the street, and you find a diamond ring in the street, the Torah obliges you, you're not allowed to ignore it, assuming it's a Jewish area, and it's assuming that you lost it, whatever. The Torah obliges you to pick it up, but that's not enough. The Torah now obliges you to become a shomer, a guardian of this thing. You can't just pick it up and not take care of it. Oh, I pick it up and I'll put it in my pocket and I'll remember where it is. I'll flip it around and, you know. No, when the Torah says pick it up, because we want you to return it back to the owner. And part of that means as long as you have it, you have to be a guardian. Not that the original owner appointed him the guardian. The Torah is making him a guardian. You pick up a lost object, you have a mitzvah to return it, and concomitant with that is that you have a mitzvah to be the shomer on it and to watch it. Okay, that makes sense. Question is, what kind of shomer are you? There's different kinds of shomers. Are you considered, now you'd guess, which shomer do you think you'd be? Shomer chinam. I'm a free shomer. I'm not going to get paid for this. You think he's a shomer chinam. The Gemara says, no, he's a shomer sachar. He's a paid watcher. A paid watcher, how can he be a paid watcher? He's not getting any money. Well, is he possibly getting any financial benefits from being the watcher? You're scratching your heads, how could that be? I'll give you an example. Let's say you pick up a diamond ring and you're watching it. Comes a guy, a mashulach from Yerushalayim, says, can you give me tzedakah? The guy says, sorry, I'm engaged in the mitzvah of watching this, and a person who's engaged in the mitzvah is free from another mitzvah. And therefore the fellow, it's Gemara says this, therefore the fellow, and the truth is it's not such a simple joke. You got a diamond ring, okay? I'll make it more plausible. You got a diamond ring that you found, and now you're walking through a Jane and Finch, all right? And you know, and you're a guardian, and you got to make sure nobody jumps you and clubs you and gets that diamond, right? So now this guy comes and asks for tzedakah. So what are you going to, okay, let me put the diamond down. Let me get my checkbook out. You know, that diamond's at risk. And if you're a good guardian, you're going to say, I'm really sorry, you know, come another time. I can't do this mitzvah now because I've got, if I write that check and somebody takes that diamond, I'm on the hook for the diamond. That's how far it goes. So therefore, you have to watch it really well. And this is a special mitzvah. The Torah is forcing me to do this. It's not that I, you know, was looking for you out. And therefore, I'm free from doing any mitzvahs that have any financial responsibility. So I do get a financial benefit by not having to do other mitzvahs that would cost money. And therefore, he's called a shomer sachar. Okay, that's the halach. So now the question's going to be, yeah, question.
How is that a benefit if the sachar of a mitzvah is another mitzvah? So the fact that you're...
We're talking about financial now. We're all talking about monetary benefits. Monetary benefits, spiritual benefits don't figure into monetary issues here. In other words, you have watched it. Did you get a financial, what's a normal watcher? Here, I'll pay you $5 and watch it. I got $5 for watching it. So you have a financial benefit by watching this. The spiritual benefits lost or not, it's no such thing as not getting a spiritual one. Here's your problem. The fact that I'm watching it, I am doing a mitzvah. And that mitzvah will be goreres, a different mitzvah. That's the whole idea. There's a halacha is, oisik b'mitzvah. If you're engaged in a mitzvah, potter min a mitzvah. You're free from another mitzvah. It's not you're off the hook, because I can only do one thing at a time to get close to Hashem. I can't multitask mitzvahs. Okay? So if I am doing the mitzvah watching, that is my mitzvah. And God will reward me when I'm finished with this mitzvah by giving me another mitzvah. The fact that I treat lightly the mitzvah I'm in the middle of and get to another mitzvah, you're not allowed to do that. Because now you're making light of the mitzvah you're involved with. So you can't, remember the rule is, and we've learned this many times, right? What's the ratzon of Hashem? What's the will of Hashem? The will of Hashem is you're watching an object, so return the object. My ratzon is not for you to give tzedakah right now. That's all. And guess what? Because of that, you're going to get a financial benefit over here. These guys come through Shalim. They don't hit you today. They don't get you for another year. So you have a few bucks in you make. So there is a financial benefit. And you're not losing spiritually, because as long as I'm involved, this is a mitzvah that costs me nothing. So I'm happy to be fortunate from a financial point of view. In God's eyes, you're no less of a tzaddik. If anything, it's a bigger schlep to go and find a lost object. It's easier to write a check for $15 than to go and find the owner of a lost object. You got to hold on to it until the guy comes. You got to wait 3 holidays. It's not a simple thing. You now have to watch it for maybe a half a year. So that's a big job that you have over here. So therefore, it's considered a shomer sachar. So now, I want to finish this halacha. So now, what's going to be now when the original owner finds out that you found it? And guess what? You want to keep it and steal it, and you're going to tell him, oh, I'm sorry, somebody stole it. Okay, you see what's going on now? You picked it up. You're a shomer sachar, right? A paid guardian, right? Then they find out that you found it. So the guy says, oh, I heard you found my thing. Yeah, I found it, but it got lost. And he's lying, right? And then later, witness will tell us that he was lying. So now, let's see how this all fits in. It's going to be a little different than what we had, because we're talking about a shomer sachar now and not a shomer chinam. Remember, the rule is, the golden rule is, if by you saying you lied, that frees you from payment when you lied, then there's going to be a double payment obligation. If what you say doesn't free you from a payment, then there is no double. So before we learned the shomer chinam, the free watcher, if he says it's stolen, that makes him free to pay. He's absolved. When we see he's lying, then you have to pay the double. Let's see how it plays out with a guardian. Let's look now in Dalit. Hatoin tanis ganav baveda v'nishba. The guy claims that a ganav stole it by a case of aveda. He found the object. And then the owner says, oh, you found my object. He claims it was stolen. V'nishba, he swears to that effect. So he's lying. V'achach, and afterwards, bo ate him. And then witnesses come. Shaveda v'rishu said, what are you talking about? It's in your house. Vishakartan, and you lied. Mishalim tashlume kefil, you will pay the double amount. Because why? You're a shomer, and you claimed it was stolen, and it wasn't. You pay the double amount. Shinemar, the Torah says that that's included. It says, I'll call aveda on any lost object. I mean to say, even if you claim it was stolen on a lost object, you have to pay. But there's one little catch that makes it a little different than everything else. Why? It's not just any geneva can he say in this case. And it has to be sheyitan shenignava balisti mizuyan. You have to say it was stolen with armed robbers. Why armed robbers? Armed robbers is different than a regular geneva. Why? Shu anus upater. Armed robbers is what we call beyond someone's control, and a shomer sachar is putter. The laws of shomer sachar is a paid watcher. He's obliged to pay if it gets lost. He's obliged to pay if it gets stolen, because you could have watched it better. The guy comes in your house, why didn't you lock the door? But ones, accidents beyond his control, he is putter. So what kind of geneva is he putter for? When an armed robber comes to stick him up, well, he never has to pay for that. So if he lied, and the lying of stealing wasn't stam stealing, but it was an armed robbery lie of stealing, and now he's putter. If the witnesses wouldn't come, and the guy, if it was really true, let's say armed robbers came, he wouldn't have to pay. So now he lied, and that lie absolves him from all payment, and then we come back and find he was a liar. That was a false oath of stealing, and now he has to pay double. However, what if he just says it was stolen, but it wasn't beyond his control? Somebody came in the house and just stole it, you know, in the middle of the night, didn't lock the door, whatever. That case, which, now that he says that, forget about witnesses coming later. What's the law? If the shomer, the guy finds the object, and he now says, somebody stole it, what would be the law without anything else happening? He has to pay the value of what was lost. So now what does his claim do? He still has to pay. Now let's say he liked the diamond and is willing to pay for the diamond. You're asking why is he lying that way? He's got to pay anyway. Maybe he likes the diamond. Okay, so now if he claims that it was stolen, but not beyond his control, good old-fashioned geneva, and then we find he's a liar, potzer mina kevel, he does not pay the double. Why? Because what did his oath accomplish? Did it absolve him from paying? No. So mipnei shu chayev l'shalom v'itanos, since he has to pay anyway with what he said. Once he has to pay with what he said, what did he really benefit? Because we know, Sheshomer Aveda, that someone who finds an object and has to watch the lost object, Kishomer Sachar, is like a paid watching, as will be explained. Therefore it comes out, when the paid watcher, if he lies and says that armed robbers came, and had no other witnesses come, he would not have had to pay anything. And when you lie by swearing to absolve you from all payment, and then you're found to be a liar, then that's the classic case. You have to pay double. But if he just says, it was a robbery, a stam robbery, and a stam robbery, he has to pay the value of what was lost, it was stolen, and then come witness says he was lying, well, then he never absolved himself from anything, and then there would be no obligation to pay the kafel. Isn't that a wonderful case?